Whoa. Did you just shoot web at me?
How are you being, loyal listeners? Thanks so much for joining us. This is Radioactive Spider Pod, the podcast that looks back on the 90s Spider-Man cartoon and asks, am I really crying, or is there just some Hydro-Man in my eye? Here to bring you big episode 60, The Return of Hydro-Man Part 2, I'm your host, the Marshy Kevin McAvoy.
I got nothing for this one.
Get out of my swamp!
Shrektastic. And joining me as always, my fellow co-hosts in condensation, the Tide Pool, Vero Taylor.
I think there's a moon time joke in there somewhere.
Keep it clean. And the puddly Peter Iskandar.
Yeah, so I made a puddles. What's it to you?
Yeah, want to fight about it?
Yeah. Big whoop, want to fight about it?
Just a reminder, we'll be posting screenshots from this episode and other good stuff on our social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Give us a follow, you know the drill. All of the links are on the web at radioactivespiderpod.com. We're also on Patreon with exclusive bonus episodes, outtakes, and oddities. That's patreon.com/radioactivespiderpod if you want to support the show.
And if you'd like to support the show at home, join us in a drink. Though, honestly, we still haven't quite bounced back from the 4.5 season long binge that we've been on. So, in honor of this two-parter, we're taking a break from the hard stuff to recover for the home stretch. What's maintaining your turgor pressure today, boys?
Well, it's Hydro-Man, so I want to drink some water. So, got me a couple of Bud Lights. But I'm tis.
American beer is like water, ha ha.
It's like having sex in a canoe. It's fucking close to water.
Ew.
As for me, I felt a little bit festive, so I have a vodka mud shake that is spice eggnog flavor.
Oh.
Holy fuck.
You gotta get that cream in ya, eh?
It's the dessert you can drink.
I thought that was a milkshake.
Did you guys know that this is made in New Zealand?
No, I didn't.
That's weird.
Seems unnecessary. Is it made of sheep's milk?
No, just oh no, it says right here sheep semen. Well,
that's how you get the real cream.
I also have a Prospect Sabro single hop IPA from left field.
This is the opposite of water. You double fist.
I myself have a soda with lots of vodka in it because, like we learned last week, we really can't do this sober.
Well, it sounds like we're soon to be sopping wet, so let's test the waters and be sure to get our 8 glasses because we're ready to make a splash with Spider-Man Episode 60, The Return of Hydro-Man, Part 2! The Return of Hydro-Man Part 2 first aired October 31st, Halloween of 1997, and was written by John Semper, the Semper Senpai, with a little help from Meg McLaughlin, regular contributor to the show. It's once again an original story, but we still have time for a deep diving edition of Peter's Comic Book Minute.
Peter's Comic Book Minute.
Yeah, so we did Hydro-Man last time, and like, he's still fucking around, so no Comic Book Minute this time.
Yeah, I've been burned before, I don't believe you.
Yeah. I'll never tell.
Son of a bitch. It's coming.
He's a cooking of something up.
He is. Well, our episode begins right where it left off, with Mary Jane terrified of her newfound water abilities. As Spider-Man goes to comfort her, the Black Cat returns and has questions, but a timely explosion of the chemical plant forestalls them. Outside, Cat bids farewell to Spidey in an incredibly uncomfortable way before taking off for Europe once again. Finally alone, Peter and Mary Jane underscore the need to get to the bottom of what's happening to her.
So Mary Jane sort of looks to Spider-Man when he crawls back up and says,
"What's happening to me? How did I turn into water?"
It's called squirting. And yes, it's partly pee.
Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
The first fucking joke of the episode is about squirting.
Was coming out strong out of the gate on this one. I thought he was going to be like, well, it's the 90s, so according to the commercials on TV, I'm going to assume that it's the natural result of a diet of Capri Sun and fruit gushers.
Capri Sun!
Well, next scene then. Speaking of gushing, After all is said and done, Black Cat comes in, is just like, okay, well, let me go and be super seductive in front of you and Mary Jane. She's like, oh, Cat, how are you doing? She's like, oh, you know, just...
There's so much awkward pausing here and undertones. Just feel like the writers for The Office are furiously taking notes of this and being like, could this be a whole sitcom scribbled in the margins, you know?
I'm okay, as long as Sprinkler Boy is gone. How did you manage to stop him anyway?
Well,
Peter was this close to throwing a web cartridge into that flame because he had nothing.
Look out! An unrelated fire.
The old classic. But thankfully, the explosion did it for him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then we followed up with another shot, though, where Kat is talking about, like, commitment or whatever the fuck. Mary Jane's expression goes from the audacity of this bitch to, oh, smell her a little. Like, she starts off pissed off, and then she kind of gets a little intrigued towards the middle. And then right back to, the fuck was that?
The threesome might still be on the table.
It's never been off the table.
So Black Cat starts monologuing.
I'll always cherish our time together, Spider.
Cat, I...
Thanks for reminding me that a superhero must always have a deep sense of commitment. I made one to Morbius. Now I have to keep it. I'm going back to join him in Europe. I finally realized that's where I belong. Goodbye.
She gets right in there, embraces Spider-Man, and he's standing there like, MJ, look at where my hands are. Look at where my hands are. Yeah. No touchy, no touchy of the attractive woman.
Hello. For a minute, it looked like you forgot I was here. What exactly is there between you and this Black Cat?
Well, MJ, you know what they say. The best way to get over someone is to get under someone else. Awooga! And then just swings away.
Sprays her in the eyes with webbing.
Yeah.
That's... Oh, sorry. That's force of habit.
And then Peter's just like...
She was once my partner, and she really helped me through the time that you were gone. But we've got more important things to worry about.
Enough of that. You have weird water powers. What's up with that? Like, where'd that
Let's
come
focus
from?
On something besides my potential infidelity.
Change the subject. Change the subject.
Yeah.
I like that they capped this scene off with MJ just, you know, pointing all the cameras back at herself, which is, you know, her MO, but... She says that...
And I just can't shake the feeling that when we find out what's wrong with me, it's going to lead to my destruction.
Yeah, I have that same feeling about Arby's. Just a matter of time, you know?
It'll be the death of me.
Good Lord.
So Peter and MJ head back to the police department and update Terry Lee and the ants. As relieved as Anna and May are to have MJ back, they're alarmed to hear that the police can't do much to stop Hydro Man from attacking again, and so the couple promises to stay hidden.
It's the return of the jacket.
Oh, right back in the bomber, baby.
That fucking jacket. Yes.
I don't get you guys with this jacket. Who fucking cares?
I love it. I'm sorry if you can't appreciate fashion, Peter.
Look it up, honey.
Pop my window shade sunglasses on, roll away on my Heelys, flip you off, Peter. That's my fucking fashion statement.
Goddamn 34-year-old man? Good Lord.
I don't even know.
Did you ever think that maybe there's more to life than being really, really, really ridiculously good looking?
So Aunt Anna's like, well, MJ's back. Time to make this shit about me for some reason. Go, go, gadget ugly cry.
Mary Jane, you poor dear. I can't believe you had to go through that.
Oh, Anna.
She fucking lays it on fucking thick, man.
And then also hugs Peter, too. She's giving it all away.
Yeah, that was unusual.
It was quite pleasant, to be honest. I was like, oh my god, maybe she finally has turned a new leaf.
It's a very smooth transition into acting like you haven't been an absolute bitch to this guy for 3 years.
Right.
Like how Terry Lee's also dropping truths about how little the police can/will help you.
We'll do what we can, Mrs. Parker, but this Hydro Man's a pretty elusive character.
I think she's just like, we'll do her best, but I don't know, he seems elusive. Like, if she's brutally murdered, I'll fill out a form, otherwise stop bothering me.
The police are a waste of time? Yeah. Anna stands back up.
I keep telling you, yes.
Terry, I'm sorry, you said he's elusive? Like, slippery's right there.
Oh, that would have been better.
It's true.
You had one job, Terry.
When wet, you mean, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And he's always wet, so he's always slippery.
I just want to get the listeners over that hump.
Stop this. Whatever's happening, I hate it. So, and Peter's like, actually quite reasonably coming up with a plan here. He says,
well, the best thing for us to do is stay hidden so Hydro Man can't find us.
We have to stay hidden somewhere nobody will ever go. I guess we could, I don't know, hang out with Harry Osborn at his place for a week or two. Nah, that's not worth it. Let's just risk the drowning.
Boom, roasted.
They could go visit them at Osborn Manor.
Well, rather than keep their stupid promises, Peter and MJ actually head to ESU to get some hypnosis from Dr. Kirk Connors, who can apparently do that. He puts Mary Jane under, and she narrates her fever dream from the previous episode pretty much beat for beat. Falling, clowns, voices, piss deserts, pirates, the whole shebang. This is taken as new evidence, and they decide to investigate the clues provided until they can figure things out.
Oh, fuck, Doc Connors. I forgot about that guy.
What's he been doing?
I mean, recovering from being the Lizard King, I guess.
And I think how he did that was take a sabbatical at the California Mountain Wellness Institute. Because, you know, after this hypnosis session, he's going to crack out some giant salt crystals and start doing Reiki on her.
So, elephant in the room, why does Doc Connors have a hypnosis machine?
I mean,
what exactly does he use this for?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, God, it's for when Billy acts out, he just parks him in front of it.
Well, like, we're assuming it worked. Like, I know we joke about Kirk Connors being the only scientist in New York and that he does pretty much everything, but this is too much. Like, does he have a stage show as well with his hypnosis bullshit? Is that how he met his wife? Like, she was wearing the, like, assistant's uniform and shit?
Is he also a part-time mentalist? Yeah.
Oh, yes. Somebody in the audience is thinking about lizards. Boo, you suck. Did you guys notice that Mary Jane is wearing, like, that spy costume from the movie that she was sort of in?
Oh, yeah.
Did she steal that? What's with that? Why did she put that on?
It makes her feel powerful.
I was wondering why she was wearing a suit with tubes connected to it to do fucking hypnosis.
Yeah, I don't know.
Again, what is he using this machine for?
She must have taken it from Miranda Wilson.
I don't think I could possibly handle this, but you know who could? Agent Tiffany West. He's like, fine, whatever gets us through this. There's a lot of letting yourself goes and water in this dream. Like, that could have resulted in something embarrassing happening.
Well, Connors does say she did well, because, you know, most people do scream and piss themselves 5 minutes into the session, so.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't end it by saying, she's very well.
She is very well.
And then she starts, like, losing her mind or whatever. Peter starts to get pretty worried.
Doc, no! What's wrong?
Doc, what's wrong? Is my bomber jacket too sexy? Is that the problem? Still wearing the bomber. I love it.
He's living in that bomber now.
Yeah, so. Yeah. He got one compliment on the street and he's like, well, this is my new look. That's how men work.
It's true.
Connor's here, though. He's just like, oh, we got to bring her out or she's going to die. I don't know. I'm not really paying attention. That's him saying that.
It's too much for her mind. If I don't bring her out now, she might suffer a nervous collapse.
No. Mary Jane, at the count of three, I will snap my fingers and you must wake up.
And then he's like very slowly... Mary Jane, when you hear me snap my fingers, you'll come out of your sleep. Boy, it's been a while since I had a good sleep. I got that sleep number bed, but that never worked out. Doc, there's no time! Oh, right, sorry. 1, 2, 3, snap.
I'm going to try one of those weighted blankets next. Get one for Christmas. You'll wake up, and you'll have a thing for one-armed scientist. Peter's like, hey! Snaps his fingers anyway. So Connors wraps up this little sesh here by saying,
you did well. Those dream images may be clues to your disappearance.
Or they could just be some random nonsense. This isn't real science at all. This is my son's kaleidoscope. Good luck to you. Again.
While they walk out, Peter slips Connors like $60.
Yeah. It's all in the mind.
Yeah, it was just some stupid mobile he whipped up like 5 minutes before she got there.
You see him like putting it back on like the into the like light fixture in the fucking lobby. Like, oh, yeah, no, this wasn't something I knocked together in 20 minutes from tinfoil and duct tape.
And then the end of the scene, Peter's like,
and we're going to track down everyone until we figure all this out.
How the fuck are you going to track down a clown with Hydro Man's voice and a fucking pirate? Whatever, I guess you got a plan.
I mean, I guess we're going to have to see Peter in the future. At an underwater base, Hydro Man laboriously reforms himself next to an unknown scientist. Maury seems to be having problems with his powers, and Oldie McScience takes a blood sample to investigate the cause. He recommends caution, but Bench refuses to rest while Mary Jane is in the arms of another man and heads back down the drain. He drops in on Aunt May and hears that the kids are hiding out, but plan to visit the George Washington Bridge.
Oh, look, Bench has a friend he can talk to.
Yeah, that's nice. Everybody needs a friend.
It's true. Not just two people that they talk to about Spider-Man and never see.
I mean, that's basically what they're doing here. But I suppose not. I like that it's we're continuing with Bench having this like psychotic vocal rage. Like, it's like, oh yeah, I can't reform myself, and I'm also having trouble controlling the volume of my voice. He yeah. just screams random words.
Professor, I never had this much trouble reforming before. I feel terrible. Why is this happening to me?
I can't really say, my dear boy.
Was there a learning curve where he reforms and there's an arm sticking out of his head?
Yeah, probably.
His face is in his torso. Ah, Doc! Will Mary Jane love me now?
This guy takes a look. He's like, I must examine your blood sample. And he takes the blood sample and he just looks at it. Like, he doesn't put it under a microscope or anything. He just goes, yes, gross and bloody, as I suspected. Very red, or rouge, as we scientists say. I'm not a hobo impersonating a doctor.
So, Hydro Man goes and ends up at Aunt May's place, because I guess he just knew where to go.
Oh, yeah.
He comes out of the drain and then forms into this eyeball to look around. There's a lot of fucking eyeballs in these last two episodes. Like, did some animator come, like, right fresh out of art school and just start practicing drawing eyes?
They're like, well, he's about to listen in on a conversation. So, probably going to want to form an eye. Yes, yes. I can only draw eyes. Okay. Seems.
All right, so we need you to draw Spider-Man. Okay, but can I draw, like, a big eyeball?
How many eyes does Spider-Man have? 8, I assume. You're fired, actually. Thank you.
And with good cause.
I'll see my cell phone.
Well, at the George Washington Bridge, Peter and Mary Jane attempt to jog her memory, but she can only make out fragments. Before they can learn anything concrete, they're ambushed by Hydro Man, who gives Peter a good hosing and pulls MJ into the river with him. Peter dives in after her and switches into his Spider-Man garb, but he's dead in the water and decides to regroup. With no better plan, he starts searching for the clues from MJ's dream.
MJ starts talking about the dream again, and she's like,
I was on the ship before I fell off this bridge.
The pirate ship?
Yes.
On the Hudson River?
Yes.
Yes, the pirate ship. Why are you judging me?
Peter's throwing some low-key shade around here with that one. And MJ's so embarrassed by this stupid dream, she just fakes passing out, which is a good move.
Yeah, all just, of a sudden, just like...
Oh, I've fainted.
Oh, my stars and goddess.
Oh!
Not like, I didn't actually fall over, I just sort of slowly laid down, really.
And then Peter says...
I always get the feeling something bad is going to happen here.
Kid, you ought to become a psychic!
Watch out, Peter. All Peter fucking does is like... runs at him and tries to push him.
Yeah, is this helping? Am I helping?
If I reach in, I'll get his heart.
It'd be funny if he reached in and grabbed out some water, just splashed something out of this guy with his spider strength, and then he reforms into Bench and his heart's missing.
I just,
like, oh, I'm dead now. All right.
Okay, well, you know, take care of Mary Jane for me. No.
really not going to do that. Name your first child after me. No, absolutely not. Just, but I'm dying. You have to.
Remember me how I was. A maniacal creep.
We're just rolling you into the river now.
Benjamin Maury Parker, think about it.
Come on, Mary Jane, let's go.
Benjamin.
Benjamin.
Think about it.
Not a chance.
So he throws her into the water because that's his move. And Spider-Man jumps in after them because that's his move. I'm wondering how many fucking wallets he's lost jumping into the water and throwing away his pants in this series. Yeah. I think it's three.
Well, this whole scene here is just reused animation from when she first fell into the water. Or was it from the second time she fell into the water? Or was it from the third time she fell into the water?
It's really hard to tell.
She falls in the water a lot.
Yeah, definitely yeah. One of those. Does that same 2-foot square of the Hudson River, the same fish?
Yeah, he knows that like the back of his hand. The fish are like, oh, it's you again. They don't even fucking move anymore.
Yeah. Get that red light away from me.
They just keep playing cards underwater like as they do when humans aren't around.
Exactly. It's basically Toy Story down there. So the first clue to Mary Jane's disappearance comes very quickly as Spider-Man swings to the top of the bridge and sees a massive pirate ship theme restaurant, and it's only a block or so away. He pops in and chats with the maitre d', who confirms MJ came through there once and sets Spidey towards his next clue. He discovers a wedding cake bakery that also fits her dream sequence, followed by a toy store further down the street that inspired the clown, and so Spidey decides to investigate the shop a little further.
What he says, I'm going to follow her clues.
My only chance of getting Mary Jane back is to keep following the clues from her dream.
Let me just get in the mood, and then just drops some acid and stares at a lamppost for 4 hours. Yeah. And is like, oh, fuck. Like,
yeah. It's the only way to get to the bottom.
Oh, I totally spaced.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man, I got to go to work.
What about MJ? It's like, I'm sure she's fine.
My dopamine levels are shot. I gotta go to bed for a week.
It's like, he gets to the top of the bridge. Where on earth am I gonna find a pirate ship? Oh, there's one right there.
Right?
Oh, I guess it's that easy. Okay.
I'm sorry. What themed restaurant is a tie and jacket required after 5?
Oh my god. I was saying the same thing. Like,
well, just because you're in a pirate ship doesn't mean you're not fine dining.
Yes, it does. The waiters here wearing fucking eye patches with fake parrots on their shoulders. But you need an Armani to order fucking Bluebeard's Jumpin' Johnny cakes or some shit?
Or an artichoke dip? You know it's all fucking written. Yeah. It's a tourist trap. It's a floating.
The menu is
trap.
A fucking a treasure map. This is not a time for a suit and tie.
Like, you know some fat kids having their birthday party, like, down the galleyway.
Why body shame children, Vero? Like,
I'm just picturing Cartman from the Casa Bonita episode.
I do love how this guy has the same incredibly distinctive voice as the scientist man with no explanation given. Like, it's clearly the same voice actor. You're like, oh, is this going to be a thing? Spoiler. No, it's not. It's just their guest star only has one voice.
Oh, Spider-Man. Oh, the pain of it all.
She was sopping wet, but it wasn't raining.
Yeah, like, this old pervert is so obsessed with attire. Like, this woman walks in. She's clearly mentally, like, not in the right place. And he's like, I'm not going to call anybody for help. That outfit is gauche.
I went back to see if we had anything for her in the coat check room. And when I returned, she was gone.
Ugh, who wears yellow and purple with cowboy boots? Yuck.
It's just her regular clothes. She's like, oh, somebody clearly beat you up and dressed you with random clothes from a thrift store.
Oh, honey, take this, please.
She comes away looking 10 times better. It's like, well, you had a point.
So Peter starts going through all the different images that were in her dream. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, how fucking high were these writers when they wrote this shit? Like, did they really need to go through all of these different steps and make it so fucking elaborate?
Yeah, you got to eat that screen time by making it kind of more of a mystery, I guess. But I mean, he could have just gone to the toy store. The cake store was just a boring nothing in between.
I'm with Peter. They were high and they just wanted food.
Yeah. Would it be funny if he just got like, yeah, really drunk and he's like, I'll just wander down the street. Like, you got to think like a crazy person to be. What is with toy shops being super suspect in this show, though? This is the second time that there's been like a one of those classic toy stores that you see only on like movies and TV shows, like where it's super elaborate and nobody would ever buy any of the toys inside of it, you know?
Yeah, because no one buys real toys anymore.
This is the second time that we've gone to a toy store that turned out to be something more nefarious than it was or secretive than it was, because the Kingpin had that previous hideout where you went into the toy store, if you recall.
What do you have in the way of robots?
Robots are very popular in the toy biz. We have an excellent selection, sir. Right behind that door.
I wonder if Avi Arad is behind the scenes insisting on making toy stores have secret hideouts so that the kids want to visit them more.
And then they're like, oh, Mom, can I have this toy, though?
That's how they get you. Then they buy a Spider-Man toy, and then Avi Arad laughs his way to the bank.
Yeah, I don't know what he sounds like, but...
Probably that. Spider-Man pokes around the toy store, but as he's seeking a toy, some toys begin seeking him, Voltroning together to form a robot that attacks. Dodging its laser blasts and explosions reveals a hidden passage to an underground rail car. Spidey takes off, pursued by the robot, which is eventually defeated by pure chance. With more and more clues lining up towards Mary Jane's nightmare, Spider-Man realizes that the tunnel resembles the one used by the Green Goblin, the one he thought had been destroyed.
So were you guys just as happy as me when you saw all these toys starting to form together into some sort of mega Zord kind of thing?
Yeah, but it starts out like it's reasonable because it's just a couple of toy cars, then some slightly larger like motorcycles or whatever. Then a flying jet the size of a man's chest. You're like, whoa, okay. Like, you could have taken a second, put a couple more toys together, made it more reasonable. Like, nah. Like, one of those flying jets that were huge that kids had in the 90s. Is it an air hog?
Could have been.
Air hogs. Real planes that really fly.
Spidey gets really weird in here with his comments during this fight.
Hello. The one time batteries not included wouldn't have been a bad idea. Thank you. I'm out of here.
Again, 90s kind of expressions. He sounds like he's on network TV. Check, please.
Check, please.
Talk to the hand.
I'll have what she's having.
Could it be any more of a robot?
Excuse me.
He fucking crashes this minecart. It's like, did I do that?
Did I? Nice.
It's just been such a dour episode. Like, he's had to be super concerned this whole time. He's like, yeah, I gotta cut loose. Take some me time.
Yeah. You know, just have fun with it.
Yeah, lighten the mood a little.
So every day you fight a giant robot. Oh, wait. But...
Wait a second.
This one's kind of cute.
I like his little Smythe jab here.
Why do I get the feeling Alistair Smythe is now in the toy business?
Yes, Spider-Man. I make some money now.
Yes, Spider-Man. But your mother enjoys my toys.
My mother's dead.
That's probably why she didn't move too much.
Jeez.
I've hired a quip writer.
I'm fed up with you, with your smart comments.
Oh, man. So he goes through this, like, blast in the wall from the robot and heads down into this, like, mine shaft, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
And, like, it's a pretty unsafe minecart that he drives. Like, he takes off in it, and, you know, he's like, oh, it says Oscorp or whatever the fuck. But as the robot attacks him, he gets, like, knocked out of it, and it just careens off immediately into a wall and explodes.
Yeah.
How did an addled up, fucked up in the head Mary Jane drive this thing safely? But, like, you know, it's like, I thought it would be automated. You know what I mean?
It's just drunken recall.
It's barely hanging on. It's just one of those, like, I actually drive better when I'm wasted.
Yeah, that's it, right?
Like, that's not true. It's just like,
It's like those times when you get like blackout drunk and then you wake up the next morning just like, oh man, I got really fucking wasted and probably lost my fucking wallet, probably like forgot to feed the cat, probably like whatever. And then you wake up, you're like, your wallet is safely like in your pants that are folded like on the end of your bed.
And yeah, like, yeah. You're like, oh, I poured myself water. Oh, I love me.
The cat is there covered in all of the food. It's like, well, I fed it.
I've definitely done that, the thing in 3-inch heels where like you can barely walk and then you see the steep ass Toronto narrow staircase that you have to walk down to get out of the bar, and then all of a sudden you're just like powered by gods, just stable as fuck, like I got this. Dun, dun,
and dun, dun, yeah, but in actual dun. In real life it's just like nailed it.
And like a bouncer is literally like picking her up and carrying her out. Me. Like, ma'am, you've stolen 8 beers and you smashed a glass. You have to go. I'm flying.
I'm flying. I'm so powerful. I told you I was sober.
Nobody talks to Wonder Woman that way.
I gotta get in my invisible plane. Wonder Woman.
Anyway, back to this weird shit. And he sees the light at the end of the tunnel.
That light at the end of the tunnel. Could that be the big eye Mary Jane saw in her dream?
That light at the end of the tunnel. Is that the end of the Six Forgotten Warriors story arc? All right, that already happened.
Oh, no, there's 3 more episodes left. But, like, he goes and says, is that the eye that Mary Jane's talking? No, what the fuck? Like, they're fucking grasping.
Yeah, stretching it at this point.
They couldn't have come up with anything better than the light at the end of the tunnel being an eye.
Especially because she would have been leaving that tunnel, so she wouldn't have been looking at that. She would have been looking the other way.
There's lights on both ends.
You could definitely hear the train tracks. Like, that'd be something. Like,
oh, yeah, the train tracks was good. That's okay. It's also a really, really weird voice take that they use here where Spider-Man says,
this tunnel, it's like the one leading from Oscorp to the Green Goblin's underwater lab.
This tunnel. Like, he goes all Spider-Man noir with those two words. It's so strange.
This tunnel. It's probably where the Green Goblin was.
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
This tunnel.
I've been editing Pod long enough to know when somebody spliced two takes together that didn't fit, but they're like, well, I'm sure nobody's paying attention to this part.
I'll always love you!
Kevin?
Meanwhile, down at the underwater base, Mary Jane and Hydro Man square off. She realizes that her dream starts here in the lab, and she struggles to remember more as Bench advances upon her. Spider-Man arrives to help, but as the battle starts, he's overwhelmed, and Mary Jane uses her water powers again to beat down her stalker. With Bench on the verge of collapsing, the couple looks for answers, and luckily Old Science Man is here to give it to them. His real name is Dr. Miles Warren, an expert in cloning who took his research underground and claims that he could be Mary Jane's father. Yeah, Mary Jane's like, I remember this place. This is where Mysterio died. Or did he? Come out here, Quentin Beck, you fat fuck. I know it's you. Starts kicking a ficus plant in the corner.
Oh god, those are decorative.
Very expensive.
You see Hydro Man just like, stop that. I'm here to rattle some cages.
Stop
Patterson.
It, Red. I bought it for you.
Red, those are priceless.
His crazy ass voice. I like Spider-Man shoots him with his webbing, and it's not any kind of special webbing, but he's just like, ah! He like freaks out. Like, normally this doesn't phase you at all, but it's like, I guess for the moment we need it to, so he's like stymied by it. Oh my god, how do I even deal with this?
Ah, gross.
Just the same, the same way I deal with everything, by trying to take it captive and telling it I love it.
I thought you were going to say turn it into water, but, you know, both are good.
And Maury's like,
I've been saying all along, Red, we were made for each other. Don't you understand? You have no choice but to be mine.
No, I hate the sound of your voice. I can't stand looking at you.
And then they pan back to Maury and his face is just like, into this contorted, like, grimace. I'm like, no wonder. Gross.
Yeah, gross. Yeah.
They did him no favors.
I like it. He just slams Spider-Man into a pipe because he's like, meh, bad classics. And there's this really awkward audio insert to underscore that Spider-Man tears his suit at this point.
Mary Jane is mine!
My suit's torn!
Just thought I'd a little highlighter on this moment for no real reason. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, like I heard that and I'm like, that's great. Does it give you powers? Does it protect you from noxious gases? Like, who cares? Oh, I guess they kind of explain it later, but like you don't even make the connection at that point.
When I heard it the first time, it sounded like it was added in post.
Oh, for sure. Well, I mean, everything's added in post. It's a cartoon, Vero.
They don't do the cartoons live, Vero.
It's a terrible strain on the animator's wrists.
Let's all make fun of Vero. Very funny, guys.
Very funny, guys.
All right, calm down.
The line read is very stiff, so it felt like they had to put it in for a reason.
Yeah, fucking we'll get to it later. Christopher Daniel Bards didn't even get out of his car for that one. Like he drove by the studio, yelled it into the window, and they're like, thanks, got it, and he's already gone.
Yeah, in his fucking like Rolls Royce, and he's got like draped in like his huge chains.
He's got all the Fox Kids money.
All in white, in sunglasses, and a giant furry hat. He's like, six more seasons!
The money train will never end! I like that, I love the beast mode that Mary Jane goes into here, where she's just like, nobody touches my man roughly but me! And she just starts laying into Bench with her water powers here.
She kicks his ass.
I know. She just fucks him up, and he's, like, begging immediately. He's like,
I won't let you terrorize me any longer!
Stop! Please stop!
Please stop! It's in my ear, and I really can't get it out. It's kind of irritating, you know what I mean?
He looks like he's in a lot of pain. It was really crisp animation.
It's actually, this episode in general is not bad. I mean, much of it's reused. You know, Hydra Man entering the scene and then to leave the scene, they just completely reverse the shot for a full 10 seconds. But other parts are pretty good.
Then the old man finally comes in.
I can answer that, Spider-Man. Who are you?
He's like, that's Mr. Spider-Man to you, oldie.
So he goes and introduces himself as Miles Warren. And I'm just like, wait a second. It's the Jackal. It's the Jackal. Which brings us to Peter's character rundown. Peter's character rundown. So Miles Warren appeared in Amazing Spider-Man number 31 from December 1965 and was created by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko. The Jackal first appeared in Amazing Spider-Man number 129 from February 1974, created by Jerry Conway and Ross Andrew. Also, another character debuted in that same issue, and his name was The Punisher.
Oh, damn.
Oh, the Punisher.
Battle Van. Make me share my debut.
So the Jackal's abilities are genius geneticist, biochemist, and cloner. Talented martial artist and gymnast. I guess we'll see that later. I don't know.
Nope.
I'm excited to see that come to fruition.
Superhuman strength, speed, and agility. And in terms of key issues, there's the two that I mentioned, but also look up the fucking Clone Saga. Might have heard of it. And more recently, the Clone Conspiracy.
Yeah, that's cool. It is nice to put a name to this old bastard. Even Spider-Man knows who he is, because he's like,
Miles Warren, I read about you in a science journal. Your cloning experiments were banned by the government.
True.
You're that guy with two dicks. Like, no, I'm the cloning guy. Oh right, yeah. Okay.
Oh, sure. It was a double feature.
I got a lot of stuff going on.
Can you get me in touch with the guy with two dicks, though? Yes, fine.
I'm the man who gave him the two dicks.
Shocking twist. But when this guy says,
my name is Professor Miles Warren, and I can actually be considered Mary Jane's father.
Mary Jane lights up like a fucking Christmas tree.
Daddy! Right?
Like they cut to her and she's like,
Spider-Man's like, sorry, Doc, she calls me Daddy now.
This guy sounds the same as that Mater D from before. Who does their voice?
It is the same guy, and he was also the random mustachioed man in the dream sequence, both in this episode and in the previous episode. And I did mention last episode he was played by Jonathan Harris. who is most famous for playing Dr. Smith from Lost in Space.
Maniacal laugh.
Be still, you babbling bird brain. No one is interested in your state of health.
Danger. Danger, Spider-Man.
My arms are flailing wildly.
It's pretty good. Like, it's eccentric, but it's not bad. I like that Spider-Man points out that his cloning experiments were banned by the government.
Fortunately, there are those who are willing to pay for scientific work like mine.
Yes, Mr. Elon Musk was quite eager to get one of my sexy cat girls for himself. First one South African pervert billionaire, then the world.
Oh, Jesus.
You can tell that this guy's ramping up to give some backstory because he just keys it up so hard here where he's like,
you have hydropower because you and Hydro-Man literally were made for each other.
What do you mean?
Spider-Man's just like, hey, Warren, fuck you. Oh, man. But Dr. Warren takes it here from the top, explaining that his research hit a snag, and so he used some of Hydro-Man's DNA in his experiments because of his ability to hold himself together. Clone Bench was a success, but was still obsessed with Mary Jane, and so he forced the doc to make a clone of her too. Clone MJ had her own wants and desires and fled the base, meeting back up with Peter. This leads to the inescapable conclusion that she isn't the real Mary Jane at all. What a twist.
So they go to the story of how he cloned Hydro-Man, and they just show him, he's like, he read the paper and then found the building in which he evaporated on and then just fucking removed the fucking ceiling panel and then got the DNA from it. Like, fuck off.
Yeah, with a screwdriver. Just stabs it. These guys got pipes.
Oh, better do this carefully.
Yeah. I love that he's just like, yes, I read it in the newspaper, and it gave me a dream of a futuristic amusement park where supervillains will return to life through advanced cloning techniques. I call it Maury and the Clonosaurus.
I'm sorry, Kevin. What are you thinking? First, you take an idea that was already done. Then you give it a name that nobody will like.
So, you know, we all have the Daily Bugle to thank for their breakneck journalism speed because, you know, the roof was like 100 degrees another day and that DNA would have been destroyed. So,
yeah, radiation destroys DNA.
And heat, it would just melt.
Yeah, good point.
So, COVID wouldn't even have lasted there.
Without J. Jonah pushing those big headlines, Mary Jane would have never come back. The store.
Yeah, man, you wouldn't get that kind of stuff with the Daily Beacon. I'll tell you that much.
No. Just more stories about how Wilson Fisk is growing orchids for some reason.
Yeah. And then like some sort of like wedding planning services.
As a scientist who uses very tiny and delicate machines, the visual of him just taking out a screwdriver and bashing it into the concrete. Like, yes, this will work.
This is going to take all my skill. Bah!
I mean, I would have liked to seen some extraction protocols, how to get hydro DNA off of concrete.
Yeah, you'd like to see a lot of things. It is good to see that DNA stores all of your memories and emotions, though, because everyone knows that.
Wow, it's a kids' show, and they basically just rip open nature versus nurture. They're like, there's no debate, guys. Your DNA tells you exactly who you will love and the personality you will have.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
So Maury finds out that MJ has disappeared and he's very upset. And then Warren's like, oh, he turned on me. And it looked like he was attacking him. Maybe you should have built a vortex to keep him in check. I hear those are very useful.
No, you stop what you're doing right there. We don't go down that road.
Hydro-Man turned on me, but I built this aqua vortex to keep him in check.
Yeah, Miles Warren never leaves anything to chance. Oh, no. Instead, it's like they send Bench to, like, Mary Jane's house to steal her hairbrush, which is really creepy. And there's this shot of Aunt Anna sitting on the bed just crying and Hydro Man stealing her hair out of the brush. And it's just like this weird flashback. I just wanted like Spider-Man to swing by like pantsless through by the window, banging Black Cat midair.
Oh, God. Like,
oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I really needed to get over your disappearance.
So let me get this straight. Hydro Man got a sample of Mary Jane's hair after he seduced Aunt Anna. And once she realized what she had done, she was crying on the bed as he stole the hair.
I don't know where you're getting these facts, Peter.
They're facts.
I guess I am.
Miles Warren was like, you have to get her hair. And then Bench was just like, okay, yeah, I'm just going to go in. Guess I'll sleep with her. Like, here we go, Bench, pull it off. He's and like, Warren's like, you can turn into water.
Just take the hair.
Well, what's been done is done. Well, yeah, she kind of looks like Mary Jane.
Let's go, thick neck. Down we go again.
Oh, God.
I love the shot, though, after this of the two dudes staring into this bubbling water that's forming Mary Jane. Like, it's the exact same look that I have when I'm drunk and high at 3 a.m. trying to heat up, like, pizza pockets in an oven that I forgot to turn on. Just, like, blank-faced, like, but it's your whole world.
Just so intensely staring.
But fucked it up. Like, there's no chance of this working. Oh, man.
Well, Kevin, watched Mary Jane never boils.
Exactly.
Poor Dr. Warren, man. All he wants to do is make some clones, and now he's stuck in a fucking love triangle with these thirsty-ass teenagers.
He's not part of it.
No, he's, like, stuck dealing with it.
He's not stuck in a love triangle.
All he wants to do is, like, mess with, the fabric of human life, like, with no regard for their emotions. Is that so wrong? You're such a scientist.
He just wants his controls.
He's like, well, he's got a PhD. I gotta have his back.
He just wants to do his controls. He wants to get his paper. And they're just like, no, I gotta go get laid, though. And he's like, fuck, can you guys just, like, stay?
You're water. Stop fucking. But no, Mary Jane's like, I can't possibly be with you. I have to go on this, you know, Mary Jane's wild ride.
She felt love for Peter Parker.
Peter? I've come back to you.
Mary Jane.
I love the shot, too, of Maury Bench reading about the marriage in the paper. And Maury's just like, this thickens my neck. And he just heads out.
Why did he give him the newspaper? I don't get
I mean, who's delivering the bugle down there?
Right? Well, I mean,
world's most dedicated paper boy.
Well, it was just on the route because, like, the Oscorp has a subscription, like a lifetime subscription.
It's so, like, you got to go to this room in the Oscorp and then flush it down the toilet. Like, yeah, I know, but they pay double, so it's worth it. And they tip at Christmas. Mary Jane grapples with the revelation that she isn't who she thought she was, and Bench grapples with the fact that she still hates his stupid face. But when it rains, it pours, and Dr. Warren drops one last bombshell. The cloning process was flawed, and both water clones are coming apart just like his previous experiments. Hydro Man goes mad, destroying the lab and causing a flood that sends Warren fleeing to safety before Bench loses his grip entirely and evaporates into nothing.
I do like that Bench calls her his Eve. I was like, I think that's the most intellectual analogy you've ever
made.
It's
not intellectual, it's from the Bible.
Well, I mean, like, it's like
it's
a
the
literary.
The opposite of science.
It's a literary reference, is my point.
Okay,
like, he actually,
to the most common book ever printed.
There's a lot of other literary references.
Yeah, I don't know. It's no Francis Bacon. Like, you know, get out of here.
A man that studieth revenge keeps his own wounds green. Francis Bacon.
This, and you're right, Vero. He keeps saying, like, all this the whole episode. You were made for me.
You were made from part of me. For me.
You're basically describing incest now, Bench, which, I mean, just dial it back, all right, with this line of thinking. It's really creepy.
Yeah. So Spider-Man here is just like, I don't believe any of this. But, like, there's evidence. And He explained it all. Like, look into your heart. You know it to be true.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. They pull that shit again. You're like, okay, all like, right, fair enough.
Come on, Peter. She showed up out of nowhere after she went through a portal. Like, you were basically denying it the whole time, too.
Mary Jane never used to be a squirter, but like every time now.
Gushing like a fire hose.
Listen,
well, waste not, want not.
And like a weird amount, like not just like normal amounts. Like, I mean, I've had other girls that like Felicia was pretty good too, but like, geez, this one, whoa, like I've had to change the sheets every time.
I gotta buy more linens.
But like Peter's just sitting there flashing back like of all the times that MJ actually turned into water in front of him. And he's just like, don't ask questions. Like just closes the door. Like, it's fine. She's back. It's okay.
Oh, man. Also, like Bench gets like super possessive here. And why does he assume that he's going to live forever? Because he says,
I hate you.
Then you're just going to have to hate me for all eternity. As my wife.
What? Like, why do you think that? And then Dr. Warren's just like, well, actually, you've got more like 60. It's like, years? No, 55, 54, 53. Like, yeah, Warren shows up. He's just like, I'm afraid I have some other unpleasant news. My biopsy results came in and shut up, old man.
Doc, don't you have any good news? Yes, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance.
By not having a car and living underwater. I'm actually, like, you know, I'm no fan of Maury Bench, but the water boy here does raise some valid points vis-a-vis existence, where he starts freaking out and screaming, and he's like,
this is all your fault!
Right? Like, what the fuck?
That's what I write in my Christmas card to my parents every year.
He goes full Jurassic Park, like,
yeah, yeah, but your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could that they didn't stop to think if they should.
So Maury goes out like a bitch here, huh?
Yeah.
It's actually pretty terrifying.
They animated it very, like, David Lynch body horror-esque. Like, he just makes this very dramatic face and poof, is gone.
Before that, he's just like, Mary Jane, I want you.
I want you, Red. I want you. No!
I want you. He's like, okay, can we settle for a second? Because can't always get what you want, buddy.
Look, hey, it's not your turn to talk right now. Oh, okay. He just sits down and waits while he's disappearing. As Spider-Man looks on, Mary Jane begins to lose herself as well. She tells her husband that if she shares anything with the real Mary Jane, it's her love for him. For all of his power, Peter can only grieve as she fades away to nothing. And as his world falls apart, Peter's anguish is silenced by the roaring water as he's swept out to sea.
Well, that's it then.
Kind of hard to make jokes when you feel sad.
Yeah, I just remember watching this and I remember feeling sad for this scene back when I first saw it as a kid. And I didn't realize that until I saw it again just now.
I remember being devastated then and like just thinking about it still like, oh God, it's great acting from CBD. No, sorry. It's great acting from CDB. It's great acting from Mr. Barnes. How frantic he is when he's like, we'll get Warren.
No!
It's too late. I'm falling apart too.
We'll get help. Warren, where the blazes are you?
Forget it, Tiger.
He's angry, he's frantic, and then just, you know, Mary Jane's trying to console him, and she's tearing up, and all I could think was, don't cry, dear. You can't spare the moisture.
Before I go, I want you to know just one thing. If any part of me is anything like the real Mary Jane Watson, she loves Peter Parker more than anything in the world. More than anything.
No!
The only thing that kind of made me take a pause was, like, pour one out for the poor art director here, who had to figure out how to make a character made out of water look like they're crying.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they just used purple.
Purple eyeshadow.
Yeah.
It's not a great choice, but I respect the struggle that it took to come up with that.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's just, you know, she came to the realization that she's not really Mary Jane, but, like, she is. And just for her to be like, listen, all I know is that she loves you.
Yeah. I mean, that's always the difficult thing in when they do clones and stuff in literature and movies and things like that. It's like,
I'm sorry, which literature did they do clones in?
I'm thinking of the Star Wars extended universe personally, but
that's literature.
Shakespeare's 12th Night.
Kind of like Brave New World, I guess, was the other thing that jumps out at me, where they have like the tiered people and stuff like that.
Romeo and Juliet and clones. Clone Lear.
Game of Clones. That was a good one. You know, Clone of Arc. Where she was.
The clone of Monte Cristo?
Yeah, I guess so.
Anyways, I think we're just trying to not cry by making these bad jokes.
Making terrible clone references.
The clone back of Clone Tredame.
When it floods, I definitely felt like he just gave up.
I agree.
He just sort of floats like without any, like, that's it, I'm done. I'm out, guys.
He could, like, he's not swinging for safety. He's not looking to find a place where he won't get hit. He just sort of screams and lets himself get swept away.
Mary Jane! Mary Jane!
Ah! Ah, Mary Jane!
Yep, probably the biggest Mary Jane in the series. Right there.
You know, later just like Billy Zane appears. Billy Zane!
Mother Brain! That's not an enemy.
I was reading Mark Twain! Well, I mean, at the same time, Dr. Warren is observing this carnage from the safety of his little panic room. And he plans to rebuild with the assistance of his mysterious benefactors, who were revealed to be Alistair Smythe and Silvermane, apparently. As he looks to the future, having found a piece of Spider-Man's torn costume and presumably some of his DNA, Spider-Man is swept free of the base and then makes his way to the George Washington Bridge, where he laments for his lost love.
I actually liked this twist. Because you kind of didn't really know who he was working for, obviously.
Yeah.
Ah, Smythe, my dear fellow. Sorry to bother you. Tell Silvermane that I need some repairs down here. Perhaps soon I might make some startling advances.
I think the key thing about this scene is it just shows Warren's complete apathy towards the situation and just his own survival that he cares about.
That's a good point. You know, that's a good point.
He doesn't even care necessarily about his survival so much as his own work. Like, seems like his own life is secondary to just like, well, I got to do this cloning.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care about how many lives I ruin as long as I could keep cloning.
Yeah. Like, yeah, no.
The whole thing is like flooding and stuff. And you just see him entering, I guess, a different code for each door to open, whatever the fuck they're doing.
Yeah. There. He's venting and all this
like,
shit.
That's all he's doing. Like, he doesn't care to save Spider-Man. He's just trying to, like, save the base and his work. And then he's just like, all right, cool. Better call Smythe then.
yeah, get some repairs. He's, like, pretty cheery when he calls.
Yeah.
Alistair, it happened just like you said it would.
What? Like, how, like, addictive is it to clone things? Like, how fun is cloning that you just stop caring about everything else in the world? He's like, it's like playing laser tag on cocaine. Fucking love I love cloning.
Well, I don't know, Kevin. Maybe we'll find out at some point.
I really, really, really hate clones, Peter, so I hope not.
Yeah, me too.
I would just like to say that Warren's a poor scientist because he probably should have been wearing gloves handling a thing with DNA on it.
There's like 18 water clones of himself already, for sure. And he's fucking them. You know he's fucking them. Oh, man. And then we're right back to the fucking bridge.
Yay!
Nothing good has ever happened on this fucking bridge, and Spider-Man just gotta go back.
You know, he finally pulls himself together, swims to the top of the water, gets onto the bridge and sits down. It's just like, well, I guess I'm single now. Oh, fuck, is it too late to make it to the airport? Cat! And he just, like, swings away.
Oh, no. I can still get that hand job. Peter's on the bridge and his pity party gets started here, but it's about to get worse because the bow on this episode has him getting a visit from old Madam Webb, and she says that Mary Jane's whereabouts are known to her. But first, a great battle has come that she's been training Spidey for this entire time, and he's transported away to places unknown.
Fuck, here we go again.
More butthole portals.
I wanted her to scoot into the scene and be like, yeah, I'm back, bitches!
Mic drop, Spider-Man.
I'm back, bitch. Did you miss me?
Man, he hates Madam Web for reasons that were never made 100% clear.
She ruined his life?
Did she?
Not you again.
I still have something very important for you to do. Have you forgotten that I have been preparing you this long while for the most important battle of your life?
Maybe she's watching him when he takes a dump or something. It's just like, fuck off!
She knows he does it in a weird way and just like...
He does that spider squat when he's on the can.
Apparently that's good for your anus.
It's supposed to be good for you.
It is. Get that squatty potty.
Yeah. So Spider-Man gets flushed down a 3D colon. Done.
Yeah. She makes a portal to send him off to this battle thing that we've been hyping for fucking 4.5 seasons or whatever it's been. And the portal is more butthole than usual. Like, it's pink and... It's got a little winky guy at the end. Like, I don't know, man. They went all out for this one.
It's like galactic, too. Is this fucking Dormammu's butthole?
I mean, I hope not. He does consume souls, so.
They are spicy.
He's muy caliente.
Well, this episode is all dried up, which means it's time for some arbitrary spider ratings where we rank the episode using whatever idiotic metric we can come up with off the top of our heads. Vera?
I give this episode 8 pirate food puns out of 9. It moves pretty fast, but it's still well executed. It starts off on a funny note with relationship hijinks and just ends at rock bottom, but in a good way. We mentioned it, the image of clone Mary J coming apart in front of Peter and telling her that she loves him still gets me, man.
Kevin?
I'm going to give this episode 4 blinking science hypnosis lights out of 5. This episode moved with breakneck speed at points, and it kind of randomly jettisoned some of the stuff from the previous episode, like the black cat, and had a little bit too much weird intrigue and robots and hypnosis and stuff like that. But it's still a damn good episode, especially because of the voice acting from Paulson as Hydro-Man and Ballantyne as Mary Jane and Barnes as Spider-Man. That's the highlight of it for me. And they made a moment at the end there that could have come off very corny in a kid's animated cartoon. And instead, it really gave you some feelings. It made me realize that much like the Water Clones and this series, nothing lasts forever. So you got to cherish what you got.
Cool. As for me, I'll give it 8 out of 10 strands of water DNA.
Ooh.
I like this episode. I think there was a good payoff to all this stupid imagery that they gave for Mary Jane. And I was really glad that they introed the Jackal. I guess technically Miles Warren, but just the whole cloning thing. And I look forward to seeing what they do moving forward.
Nice. Nice.
Really hammering these cliffhangers, though, this season. Spider-Man, you know, he's sucked into this portal. Who knows where he's going to end up?
You might not know, but such things aren't beyond the reporters of the Daily Bugle.
He's supposed to have some big scoop.
The moment all America has been waiting for.
Today's issue of the Bugle.
Brock's big scoop.
Eddie Brock's biggest scoop. Big news, too.
That's unbelievable.
Exactly how did you happen to get this?
Arrival. Madam Web brings Spider-Man to meet her master, the Beyonder, who is preparing to put Spider-Man to the ultimate test.
This is the big fight, man.
Sweet!
It's all coming down to this.
I just have to tell you that you will love the outfits that the Red Skull's aliens wear, because holy shit.
How do you remember that?
It's traumatizing. You'll see.
Oh, God. We'll get there.
It's been a journey.
Yeah, guys. We have 5 episodes left.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, shit. I'm so excited.
Well, I'm excited to see what happens, and I want to thank you for being with us, loyal listeners. If you like this episode, please share it with your friends, your family, and your oblivious water clones, directly or on the socials. In fact, you can tag us with your RA SpiderPod talk, and you might even win some free swag. If you love the show, you can also join our Patreon. You can cover your body in our weird merch from TeePublic, or just take a second to rate and review us on your podcasting platform of choice. Links for everything are on our website, radioactivespiderpod.com. We'll be returning from a second emotional post-MJ Cryfest in 2 weeks with our next episode. Until then, this is Radioactive Spider Pod saying, we really were made for each other.
Keep swinging.
Oh, I always love you.
It's so hard to let you go.
I love you always.
Goodbye.
Can't we?
I'm afraid I cannot do that. Officially.
Be seeing you, ma'am.
Peace and reunions, everyone.
This isn't over.
Leave me. You mean TikTok? Yeah. I know you.
No, I actually don't have TikTok. I'm too old. Too old!
Too old!